Greetings, Patriots, and welcome to another episode of The Spirit of 1776, brought to you by the 1776 community. I am your host, Brock Fankhauser, and today we're going to be talking about one of the core values of the 1776 community, and that is giving back. And specifically in that core value, we talk about bringing the American dream to those who have served. And I can think of no one better to join us on this podcast today than the president and lead counsel for an organization known as Building Homes for Heroes. And we've got with us Kim Vesey. And Kim, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me today, Brock.
You're very welcome. It's our pleasure. Why don't we begin? You can tell us a little bit about who is Building Homes for Heroes.
Of course. Thank you so much. Building Homes for Heroes is an organization that was started in New York in 2006 after the horrendous attacks of 9/11, 2001. Our founder and CEO, Andy Pujol, went in as a volunteer for the search and rescue in the 9/11 efforts. After that, he started volunteering, started making donations and things to some nonprofits to try to help not only our first responders, but also our veterans, our military personnel really at the time that were helping to protect our country. After a few years doing that, he decided to start Building Homes for Heroes. And the idea was to build one home and help one injured veteran that was coming back from overseas after serving our country. Of course, you know, after funding and building that home and seeing the difference it made in the life of that veteran, he couldn't just stop then. So he kept going. We hit our 300th home last year. We gifted our 343rd home gift in September of last year in honor of the 343 firefighters that were lost here in New York on 9/11. And we are going to gift our 400th home by the end of this year.
That's amazing. When Andy thought of Building Homes for Heroes, was housing always at the front of his mind, or were there other considerations as how he would give back?
Housing was the first. Actually, he heard two veterans on a radio show talking about how their amputations had affected their daily lives and how it was pretty much impossible to come home. You know, many homes are not adapted for accessibility if you're in a wheelchair, as you know. And that was the first thing that got him thinking, hey, we're not really doing the right thing by our veterans. We're having them come home in these new bodies, these new states of existence, and they're kind of unable to find that comfort that they should have, the comfort that they fought to protect. So that was the first idea, was let's bring these men and women home into places where they can have a foundation to start their new lives and to be comfortable and to move on and recover. That grew, though, from then to now. We have several support services, actually, that we've added to our programs. We do emergency funding. We helped thousands of families throughout the COVID issue with emergency funding. We sponsor athletics. We have several veterans that have won gold medals in Paralympics. We do all kinds of sponsorships. We do entrepreneurial grants. We've helped veterans start their own companies. We have financial services where we help pair veterans with a financial advisor for two plus years to help them learn how to become financially savvy. All these support programs grew out of giving the home as the foundation and really helping our veterans and now our first responders as well holistically become completely whole individuals again, financially, emotionally, mentally, physically, and in their home as well.
Yeah, I mean, these people fought for freedom. Our freedom. And when they have these injuries or debilitations, they almost in a sense lose some of that freedom, and giving it back to them is so powerful. And by way of the American dream, it's so special. When you get to select a recipient, maybe walk us through a little bit about the organization and how you actually choose recipients.
Well, we have three different programs. So depending on the type of housing program is how we choose the veteran recipient. So our first one is similar to our partnership with 1776, where a builder is willing to build a home for a specific veteran. And that you typically come with. This is the type of home we could build. This is the kind of lot we have. So we want to find a veteran that fits that type of housing in that location. Location is number one key for us. I know we've had this conversation before, but for the listeners who don't know, a little bit about my background is that, you know, I was a prosecutor here in New York on March 17th, 2008. And my younger brother was an Army Ranger and was injured in an IED blast in Iraq. As a result of that, he lost both of his legs and a portion of his right arm. And, you know, the first thing we thought was, well, how is he going to come home? Where is he going to live? The number one most important thing he's going to need is his family, his support system, his structure, the people that can help him learn how to recover and be this person in his new body, and mentally and emotionally just as much as physically, right? Because he'll still say to this day, if he could go back in time, he wouldn't take his legs back. He would take his mind back. That is the part that affects him to this day. Still, he's learned how to adapt to not having legs, but he still hasn't learned how to adapt to using his brain the same way as he used to.
Yeah.
So just with that little, you know, wanted to give you that little bit of, I guess, personal experience. So for me and for my team, and the thing that I preach consistently is that location is the most important part of matching a veteran, especially an injured veteran, to a home. There has to be stability. There has to be a community. So when we have a veteran come to us and say, hey, I've lived in this city my whole life, my family's here, well, I'm going to find you a house in that city because we can't move you somewhere else where you don't have that support. It's not fair. And you could give someone a $2 million house, right? And if they're removed from anything that they know or anyone they love, what's the purpose? Home is supposed to be where your heart is, where you feel comfortable and safe. So, when we have a builder or someone come to us and say, we have a house in this specific location, we go through our application database and we see who lives there, who wants to stay there. And if we don't have someone already applied, then we go out to that community. We go out to the VFW, the DAV, the local VA hospital, all of our veterans groups. And we say, hey, we have this wonderful opportunity. Do you know any veterans who would benefit from this program? And then obviously physical characteristics are important. We have our second program is where we're donated homes, actual already built homes through banks. So if a bank comes to us and says, hey, we have this 3-story walk-up townhome, you know, obviously we can't donate it to someone with any amputations or back issues or even head trauma where, you know, dizziness and things like that are an issue. So we take several things into account. I say first and foremost, the paramount thing is, why do you want to live in that location? And then does the injury match the type of home?
I can only imagine what it's like being on the phone or in person, having the conversation with someone, letting them know that they're going to be the recipient of a home that will change their life. Have you ever had the benefit of being on one of those calls or that communication?
Yes. Actually, it's the best part of my job. We try to do it in person when possible. I actually just got a call this morning that they want me to fly out to Dallas next Wednesday to let a family know in Dallas that they're going to receive a home. I enjoy the opportunity of being there. It's exhilarating, but it's also a little nerve-wracking at the same time because you have a family coming in with this whole heaviness on them, thinking I could be benefiting from a life-changing gift, but on the other hand, I could probably also be extremely disappointed in this moment if they don't tell me that. So, you know, you want to save the surprise so that everyone's excited to see, you know, the happiness, but you also don't want to put the veteran who's probably already stressed to the max for various reasons in a position where they feel uncomfortable either. So it's always exhilarating, a little anxiety ridden, but it is the absolute best part of our job.
Yeah.
Other than delivering the home, because that is the best. Oh.
Which we're going to be doing July 4th in our 1776 community with the Clark family. We're already making plans on how we're going to unveil that. We're excited to have Building Homes for Heroes there. This is the first time our organization has ever done anything of that scale. And as we grow our movement, it's just the beginning. And I know you mentioned that you're headed to home number 400 in this calendar year. That took what? 15 years to get there?
Well, really, we got off. I think we probably only did a handful up until 2012 when we partnered with Chase Bank. So I'd say between 2012 and today, so about 12 years. Yeah. I mean, giving an entire house is no easy feat. And I'm sure, you know, since COVID, it has not been a kind industry.
No, it's not. Supply chain is disrupted, maybe permanently. Yes. But it's up to us to figure that out, right? This is an honor that we have to be able to do this. I don't think there's any challenges that are too great in comparison to some of the challenges some of your recipients have had to face. But let's say it's been 12 years to get to 400. How long is it going to take to get another 400?
Well, that depends, Brock. How many houses are you going to give us every year going forward?
We'll get back to you on that. I'll tell you, beyond us as a builder developer, we've now gotten into licensing our brand to builders, developers, to creators of communities who are doing the same thing that we are in just other locations. And so it looks like pretty early on, we're going to be in Oregon and Texas and North Dakota and New Mexico, and there's others in the pipeline. And all of these builders, we believe, if they're going to be on brand with what 1776 is and giving back, should be doing the same. We've made it clear from the beginning of our brand movement that we want this to be in all 50 states. So we've got a lot of potential ahead of us, a lot of heavy lifting, of course, to get there, but way beyond what my company can do in its neighborhoods. We're hopeful to roll this out with all of our licensee partners in the very near future.
That would be fantastic.
My prediction is that to get to another 400, it won't take another 12 years, definitely based on the rate that the organization is going now.
We're speeding up and we're not going anywhere until every last veteran and first responder that needs housing is housed.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite stories over the years?
Oh, gosh. I started volunteering in 2008, the year my brother was injured, and I came on board full time in 2012. So it's really hard to pick a favorite story. But I will tell you that today, at this very moment, right now, actually, we are in the process of gifting a home to an injured veteran in Waddell, Arizona, who has three little boys. They lost their mother during COVID, actually, to COVID. And they kind of were at a loss. And they told us that they believe that this is a gift that's coming from their mom. Ugh, get choked up. That this is a gift that their mom meant for them to have. So today, that's my favorite story.
Yeah. I don't know how you top that. Just the raw emotion. Having your position, God bless you for doing the work that brings this type of emotion and power to every day, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you for what you do. Tell us, what can our listeners do to help Building Homes for Heroes?
Funding is always our number one issue. With the price of real estate having gone up, the supply chain issues, the economy is not what it was 5-6 years ago. So if anybody has it in their heart to donate to Building Homes for Heroes and wants to help us house more veterans and first responders, that is the number one thing we could use, as well as prayers, good wishes, and, you know, anything anybody could do, actually. We love the support.
Yeah, and it's buildinghomesforheroes.org, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we will certainly pass the word to the people in our inner circle. Giving back is one of only 5 core values in our organization, and Building Homes for Heroes is doing that every single day. So thanks to you, Kim. Thanks to everyone in the organization for doing that. We look forward to hosting your organization on the 4th of July or near there in suburban Charlotte, where the Clarks are going to have an awesome home in our Made in 1776 neighborhood. We look forward to that. But again, thank you for joining us here today. It's been a treat hosting you and learning more about Building Homes for Heroes.
Thank you so much, Brock. And we are very much looking forward to the 4th of July celebration as well.
Thanks, Kim. See you then.
Thanks. Bye, Brock.
Bye.